1390 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Tensions high in the Middle East after a Hezbollah rocket attack killed 12 children and teenagers in the Israeli-controlled Golan Heights. ABC's Jordana Miller says Israel's prime minister is vowing Hezbollah will pay a heavy price.
Moment for Benjamin Netanyahu. He must carefully calibrate the Israeli army's military response so it does not fuel an all-out war with Hezbollah, what would likely bring Iran into a regional war.
Former President Trump said attacks on Israel would not have happened in his administration. Meanwhile, Vice President Kamala Harris told a Massachusetts fundraiser she's the underdog in the race. The massive park fire in Northern California is now 10% contained as firefighters take advantage of cooler temperatures. Simone Biles suffering from leg discomfort. She and her teammates in action right now in the women's gymnastics team qualifying competition at the Olympics in Paris. This is ABC News. New York City Mayor Eric Adams issued an emergency order that suspends parts of a new law that were set to take effect to ban solitary confinement in local jails. The mayor cited concerns for the safety of staff and detainees. It's election day in Venezuela. Voters there could break the hold of dictators who've run the country since the 1990s. The incumbent Nicolas Maduro is facing candidates from the United Socialist Party of Venezuela. Political analyst Liz Rebecca Alacon says
the groundswell of support of the on-the-ground operations to monitor the polls and to really build an excitement and a conviction to get out the vote on Sunday is what has so much international attention on this moment where Maduro is going to be under watch.
And Secretary of State Antony Blinken called on all parties to respect their commitments to the democratic process. Brian Clark, ABC News.
With a little financial support from the Wisconsin Chairs Child Care Subsidy Program, more is possible. You can focus on work, continue your education, and take advantage of opportunities that make your family stronger. Best of all, you can give your child a great start with the high-quality care they deserve. What's your more? Learn how you can get help paying for child care by visiting wishares.wi.gov today.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, wgbw.fm.
Media News, I'm Terry Bell. 1 in 8 people in Wisconsin could find it harder to afford food under the U.S. House version of the Farm Bill. Mike Mohn reports.
The Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, falls under the Farm Bill, which needs to be reauthorized by the end of September. House Republicans have blocked efforts to maintain White House authority to make non-inflationary adjustments to SNAP benefits. Megan Rowe with the group Opportunity Wisconsin says not having that option would put recipients at a disadvantage.
SNAP benefits help over 700,000 Wisconsinites afford food, which is 1 in 8 people in our state. And so gutting this assistance would mean that these families have to make difficult choices.
The Congressional Budget Office says removing the provision would limit the scope of future SNAP increases by $30 billion. Advocates say that amounts to a large cut. Wisconsin Republican Congressman Derek Van Orden was called out for a recent committee vote to keep the option shelved. In a social media post, he accused Democrats of lying when saying the panel was cutting benefits. Suzanne Becker of the Feed My People Food Bank in Eau Claire says politics shouldn't come into play. She argues elevating SNAP levels as much as possible is a wise move.
We can never replace the impact that SNAP has on our neighbors. Nonprofits can't do that. We make a difference every day. We strive to. But this is a critical piece in making sure that all Americans have what they need.
Becker says her location sees a lot of demand among working families. Her team works with income-eligible clients to sign up for SNAP benefits, noting it's a lifeline for older populations. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A mix of clouds and sunshine for your Sunday, but there will be a chance of some showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Highs warming to the middle 80s, south winds of 5 to 10. One or two showers or storms this evening, mostly cloudy, lows in the upper 60s. Right now, it's 64.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome radio legend Steve Cochran. Stand-up comedian Zane Lamprey joins me to discuss upcoming dates on the Wisconsin leg of his national tour.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He didn't cut a dude.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive. Because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake. Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news and events, and as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Big Pinagigi, thank you to all of our supporters.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Haley, great job yesterday. I just want to say really excited about Kamala and what's happening there with the Democrats pulling it together. And it's a good thing. She's progressive. She's younger. She's, what, 3 years younger than I am.
Younger all that is all that matters.
Well, this would be the first president that's younger than me, because Obama was the same age, basically. I think he was born in 61, and so am I. So this would be the first younger president that we'd have, and I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm all for it. I know Kamala was out in Milwaukee yesterday in Wisconsin, and I enjoyed watching the clips from that. One of the things that she said was, we're not going backwards. We're not going back. And that's what I like to hear. I also saw this really funny clip of Joe Biden, I think, in a recent speaking thing that he did. He reminded all of us of the orange one, and when he advised us to inject bleach into our veins during the COVID pandemic. And President Biden said that he missed, and, you know, the bleach must have went to his hair.
Yeah.
So I had a good laugh out of that.
Well, and tonight, too, President Biden is going to be speaking to the country. So that'll be interesting, too, and something that we can look forward to listening to. You know, best wishes. Keep on doing the great things. And maybe before you leave, you can pardon
Leonard Peltier.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be a good way to go out.
No doubt. Hey, what else do we got going on? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, we got a really cool thing going on tomorrow morning from one of our great sponsors. NAC, Native American Community Clinic, is hosting another wellness breakfast tomorrow, Thursday, the 25th, at the Minneapolis American Indian Center from 10 to 11 a.m. Yeah, it's a free healthy breakfast and a discussion on health and wellness, and everyone is welcome. Again, that's tomorrow, the 25th, at the Minneapolis American Indian Center from 10 to 11 a.m. with NAC.
Yeah, they do great stuff in the community, and there's a perfect example right there. What's the show going to be about? I always kid people that we talk to in the and about you as a producer. I'll just go, Haley, what's the show about? 5 minutes before the show, but what's the show about today?
Sure, no worries. We're going to have Anna Negretti back on, who is the community planner with the MMIR, Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives State Office here in Minnesota. It's the first state office dedicated to this type of work across the country. So this is a really important program and office. MMIR, Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives. This is an epidemic that happens a lot in Indian country, and I feel like a lot just alone in the state of Minnesota. So it's really important that we have this resource, and I'm excited to welcome Anna back on here in the next segment. We're going to talk about kind of the progress that they've made and since the last time she was on the show, and we'll get into that, and I'm sure talk about those license plates, which I think you still need to get.
Yeah, I do. That's a long story, but yeah, I got to get current. I think I'm at 2022, so it's going to cost me a few bucks to get current before I can get one of those plates, but hopefully nobody heard that. Hey, we also, tomorrow's big happenings, as always, at our favorite Four Sisters Market.
Yeah, our favorite farmers market here in Minnesota. This one's in Minneapolis. The Four Sisters Farmers Market happens at the Powwow Grounds and NACD parking lot. The address is 1414 East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. It's right along the American Indian Cultural Corridor. It's the little yellow building. And it's fun. That's the place to be every Thursday from June through October. They have the farmers market going on from 11 to 3 p.m. And it's fun. They've got a bunch of artisan vendors and local native vendors, as well as food from Powwow Grounds. And Powwow Grounds has their new fry bread factory food truck, which is amazing.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Hey, getting back to MMIR, today there's a song called Never Run Out of the Road by Ricky Medlock. And we had Ricky on, didn't we?
We did, yeah. For those of you who don't know Ricky Medlock, he is a member of Lynyrd Skynyrd. And Ricky is the one with, he's, you know, tan. He's got the long white hair looking kind of guy. And there's this song that he recently did. It's called Never Run Out of Road. And Ricky has Lakota Sioux and Cherokee blood. But all these streams of that song go to support the National MMIR Fund. You can catch that interview with Ricky Medlock back in February of this year's videos on the 28th.
Maybe we should have him on again.
We should. We really should.
Talk to your producer about getting the producer to produce that.
Yeah. Well, I know that Lynyrd Skynyrd's on tour right now, so that might be a little hard. I do know that Ricky is touring with them.
Yes, yes.
They're going to be at Prairie Island.
Yeah, and I know, like, Ricky's a little older than me, and I need my nap, so maybe our show is going on at the same time as his nap before the night show.
The concert, yeah. That's a big thing. I don't know. There's a lot of older bands that, you know, with older artists that are still touring, and I think they put on, you know, a pretty great show still.
Well, I was really surprised. I saw Paul McCartney at Target Field a few years ago, probably more than a few years ago, but I was surprised because I noticed how he did it, too. He'd stand and play a few songs and sit behind the piano. Because literally, I couldn't stand, you know, the whole 2 hours.
Yeah.
3 hours no, it is. Commercial, but the concert. But I saw kind of how they did it. But yeah. And then we saw just recently Mick Jagger running very fast as an 80-year-old across the stage. And my sister-in-law and brother-in-law were at that concert in New York. And it's just like, they were in shock, too.
Yeah, I think I saw clips of that on on some social media platform. But yeah, he's up and he's, you know, doing more than just walking. He's running.
Yeah, he's running. He's running. He's running better than me. And I'm, you know, quite a bit younger.
Yeah. You got to stay in good shape if you're, you know, a touring musician.
Yeah, definitely. Well, what else is going on here? And I know, again, what I've heard and you've confirmed, too, is our Gen Z people and younger people have really gotten energized by Kamala's bid for the presidency. And I'll be down at the DNC for at least a few days because it's just before the state fair. So I got to figure out scheduling because we'll be at the state fair for a couple days doing the show live at least. And on Thursday and Friday, and come out and see us and support Native Roots Trading Post.
Hey, absolutely. Yeah, the State Fair is coming up, and that'll be a lot of fun. I know we have probably a minute here until our first break. I want to shout out the last segment. We're going to welcome back Angela Two Stars of NACD, Native American Community Development Institute. She is the director of All My Relations Arts Gallery, and we're going to be talking about Jennifer White's upcoming exhibit at AMRA and what that entails, when the guest speaking is, and when that exhibition will be on display.
Wow, they do such great work, and it's so... so beautiful to go see that artwork from Native Americans across Turtle Island here, right in here in Minneapolis, on every quarterly or every 3 months cycle. And it's beautiful. And we appreciate the, you know, Native American Community Development Institute in leading the way here in the Twin Cities.
Always, always. Go check it out.
Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. We'll be right back after this short break.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I'm going to talk about accountability partners. An accountability partner is somebody you regularly check in with when you're chasing a goal. This is a very common concept in fitness circles, church circles, recovery circles, and it really works for money too. So if you talk to your mom or your brother or your best friend all the time, you could ask them to be your low-key accountability partner. Here's an example. Say you decide to bring your lunch to work 4 days a week to cut back on costs. You just tell your mom, friend, or whoever, and you say, here's what I'm gonna do, and then you put a reminder on your calendar to check in with them in 2 or 4 weeks. You tell them all about it. How'd it go? What worked? What didn't work? All the details. You'd be surprised at how much not going it alone can help. An accountability partner gives you support, encouragement, and helps you stay accountable to you. For more help with saving, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we are here with our friend Anna Negrete, a community planner for the Minnesota MMIR State Office, Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives. And we're really, really excited and happy to have you back on.
Thanks for having me.
You always got such a nice, beautiful background there. kind of looks like you're out you in the country kids, there.
You see kids running by. They're just playing with the frogs. So
Nice. Well, really great to see you again. And, you know, last time you were on the show back in February, what's been happening here with the Minnesota State MMIR office, and how much has it grown, and what's happening? Let's hear some groovy updates.
Yeah, thanks for having me back. So in February, we were talking about the license plates, and they were just being released. I won't bring attention to the fact you haven't ordered them yet, but this is what they look like. This is like a sample plate, but... yeah, so these are what the license plate look like, and I just got mine a couple months back, too. It took a while to get ordered, but, yeah, the license plates, the specialty plates are now available through DMV, and $25 of your contribution goes to support our state's reward fund board. So the Gagigay Mikwin-Ngozi-Wag Reward Fund Board, which will hopefully provide some dollars for rewards on some of our MMIR cases, up to $10,000 per case. That's what we announced. And we'll also go to support things like raising awareness, billboards, flyers that our family need, searches as we engage in searches, all kinds of good things that we hope to do with that, those dollars. So super excited about that.
Yeah. And I will be getting mine, and I already know what I'm going to put in there. As a matter of fact, state representative, or state senator, I should say, she helped me out with writing out Ho-Chunk and how it can come out with the proper amount of number of letters too. I think I'm going to be taking out, what am I going to take out? The U in Chunk?
Is something that like that. We'll figure it out.
But yeah, well, Mary Kunish came up with a great idea. So yeah, everybody check it out. And Haley, you're up next to get your plates too with your new car. I know that
you can
get the plates online, and you can also go down there. And then if you get them personalized, like I'm going to on my whip, Yeah.
They take a little bit longer if you get them personalized, but it's still like great. And I've never had personalized plates before, so I went and splurged on that. But I just, you know, it's a great way to help raise awareness and support the office. So super excited about that. We have lots of things going on at the MMIR, as I was mentioning. The billboard, some of the reward fund dollars can go to billboards, but Clear Channel Communications, they're have done a $0 contract. So I don't know if you guys have been out and about in the Twin Cities, but there's a couple billboards up that are highlighting 8 of our cases altogether for some of our longer term missing relatives. And so that's super exciting. And it's the first time we've had billboards up, and we're just trying to build those relationships to keep awareness going about our relatives and trying to bring them home. Yeah, there they are. You're blurred out, so we can't see it all the way, but...
I like that.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of these plates around our community, and it's always cool to see, like, when I'm not really around the American Indian Cultural Corridor and I'm kind of east suburbs of St. Paul. So I still see those specialized MMI plates around our, you know, our suburban communities. And it's always like, ooh, do I know that person?
Right.
And I try to see if it's a relative or a coworker, but
that's a great story, Haley. I was at a state meeting with Native Americans, and in the parking lot there was one, and I wanted, oh, who's that? It was Shelley Buck, it ended up being.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So,
That's me too. I was like, who is that? How do we know them? I want to leave a note, leave a bandana. We got new bandanas coming out too. I don't know if you guys have seen the new bandanas. We got some new ones out. These new ones have a new color that represent domestic violence. So here's the newest version. It still has our logo on them, but they're more of a teal. I don't know. It kind of looks black on the screen, but this is the newer one. So we get those out as we're out in community spaces. Again, just trying to connect with community in whatever way we can. So if you see us, hit us up. We have some.
Yeah, I have one. As a matter of fact, I'm going to unblur my bookcase background here. I have one right up there.
Oh, well, you have two.
Easy, Haley. Yes, I do. I have a hoodie too. Don't tell anyone.
Hey, but it's like, you know, people, the more that you see, the more other people that see MMIR and those letters next to each other, the more questions that people have. And it just really opens up an opportunity to have that conversation and kind of educate, you know, more people around this epidemic.
Who designed the logo? Because I've told you this many times when I've seen you. I love that logo. That logo is awesome.
Yeah, it was Big Spirit who did the design. And, like, we were super intentional. Our director was awesome. Like, if you notice, and, like, the braid, they have, like, even the person is, like, we wanted to make it sure it was, like, kind of gender neutral because we wanted to represent all of our relatives, that they have some teal in the braid to represent domestic violence. And, of course, the traditional, like, red hand over the mouth to represent the silencing of our communities when it comes to you know, MMIR and just kind of the silencing of our people. So really intentional, and love the design, and it's nice to see it out and about. If it's on a sweatshirt or on a license plate, it's cool to see out and about.
Yeah. So what does the green represent in their in the hair, in the braid?
The green was supposed to be more teal. So like that domestic, domestic okay. violence, because of the lateral violence that happens in our community. And so that was the thought behind that, to represent that. And that's why we went with that kind of teal too for this year's bandana. So super excited to how it turned out. And yeah. I see other people having stickers with it on now, and just doing different things. So it's nice to see that representation out in the community.
Yeah, it's definitely, we talk about this a lot, and how we can amplify MMIR epidemic. And I just want to say it's an epidemic. And, we run into, the national news that, we're really sad that this blonde-haired, blue-eyed young woman or person has gone abandoned, but the amount of coverage compared to what we get, it's so good to have this organization in our state to really put some teeth into looking for our people.
Yeah, I was doing a presentation this morning at the Rotary Club out in Prior Lake, and I was like, who has heard of Gabby Petito? Everybody, hands yeah. raised. I'm like, have you heard of Nevaeh Kingbird or Jeremy Jourdain or Sheila St. Clair or Kateri Michaud out of Minneapolis? Have you heard of those names? And everyone's like, nope. So I mean, they were asking why isn't that coverage available? And I'm like, let's discuss that. What do y'all think? And they're like, trying not to call it always out, but they got to that conclusion too. The root causes of MMIR include racism, historical trauma, colonization, sexism, and the sexual objectification of our women and girls. So as we talk about why we're not present in the media, those are your answers, as those root causes is why we're not represented. So that was a really good discussion out there and prior like this morning.
Yeah. The sexualization of Native Americans, whether it's in the movies or in print that I grew up with, makes us unhuman or non-human. And that's why it's good to talk about there's different tribes, there's different way people look, but we're all, native to this land. One of the things that we talked about before, which really blew my mind when I started finding out and educating myself about this, there was a talk, I do believe it was in downtown St. Paul, with some survivors, and the issue at Lake Superior in Duluth, that blew my mind, and not being brought up over there, I never even had that on my radar.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, we talk about like what some of those risk factors are. So we have the root causes, but then what are those symptoms? What does that look like? And that, for part of that, those symptoms include things like human trafficking. That's those are the outcomes of what historical trauma has left behind. That's what we see, whether it's substance use, human trafficking, poverty, homelessness, having our relatives unhoused. Those are the end results of what that comes out. And so with Duluth being a port city and just having that easy access in and out of the country, that became for a time, one of the hotspots for human trafficking. And I think that has changed a little bit about where we're seeing those hotspots as it relates to human trafficking. But yeah, it's something to always be aware of. And, that we talk to our young people about, what's going on in the community, so they're aware and maintains safety. So good conversations to have with young people.
Yeah, definitely. Excellent. I just want to, before we take a break, we're here with Anna Negrete, community planner for the Minnesota MMIR state office, missing and murdered indigenous relatives. And, we're having a serious conversation here about things, but also we have a lot of joy in having this in the office here and as a real thing. And so we want to amplify that. And heck, we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matinee on Air.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Tensions high in the Middle East after a Hezbollah rocket attack killed 12 children and teenagers in the Israeli-controlled Golan Heights. ABC's Jordana Miller says Israel's prime minister is vowing Hezbollah will pay a heavy price.
Moment for Benjamin Netanyahu. He must carefully calibrate the Israeli army's military response so it does not fuel an all-out war with Hezbollah, what would likely bring Iran into a regional war.
Former President Trump said attacks on Israel would not have happened in his administration. Meanwhile, Vice President Kamala Harris told a Massachusetts fundraiser she's the underdog in the race. The massive park fire in Northern California is now 10% contained as firefighters take advantage of cooler temperatures. Simone Biles suffering from leg discomfort. She and her teammates in action right now in the women's gymnastics team qualifying competition at the Olympics in Paris. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Brewers lose again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers giving up 5 runs in the 7th. They lost 7-3 to the Marlins last night. Trying to avoid the sweep today. A recap of today's game coming up tonight. Pat Murphy asks, does he get concerned when players like Bryce Terang or Sal Frelick both go 0-4 at the plate?
Concerned? Yeah, I'm concerned. But this is what young people go through. I heard some people booing Sal Frelick during their strikeout there in the 8th. And I was like, are you kidding me? These kids have been battling their guts out.
The Brewers added reliever Rick Mears in a trade with the Rockies after having to place Bryson Hudson on IL with an oblique strain. Ryan Braun, honored today, added to the team Wall of Fame. At the Olympics, men's basketball team Greece losing to Canada 86-79 despite Giannis scoring 34 points. NFL, Jordan Love says it was a long wait, but he's grateful for the deal he signed with the Packers.
Past couple of days, trying to be patient. My agents FaceTimed me, and it was definitely a very special day.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A mix of clouds and sunshine for your Sunday, but there will be a chance of some showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Highs warming to the middle 80s, south winds of 5 to 10. One or two showers or storms this evening, mostly cloudy, lows in the upper 60s. Currently 62 degrees.
We're going abroad for the first time in years, to Spain. So we started using Babbel.
And started learning Spanish fast.
With Babbel, you can start having conversations in another language in just 3 weeks.
¿Cómo te llamas?
¿Cómo te llamas?
When you learn a language, you want to actually use it. Babbel is designed with that goal in mind.
In just 3 weeks, we're starting to have conversations in Spanish. Gracias, Babbel.
Babbel, language for life. Now try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com.
My friends swim no matter the season, but my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis can sometimes take me out of the moment. Now, thanks to Skyrizi and clear skin, count me in. With Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Ask your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist-prescribed biologic in psoriasis. And visit SkyRizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
As a network, we're called Civic Media because a big part of it is we want to start modeling how civic discourse really should happen and being respectful of each other's opinions, even if you disagree, they should be given a platform.
If Rocker and I can get along, right. We can all get along.
I know,
along.
Exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Rocker?
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy.
Well, you do have a wall in between the two of you, so
glass.
It's like...
It's only glass,
though. Tear down the walls. Listen to Max Inc. Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we'll take a look back at the weekend. And will Vice President Harris have a new VP? We'll catch up to speed. Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, we are here and with our good friend Anna Negrete, a community planner for the Minnesota MMI, our state office, and we are really excited to be on. I know with billboards and things like that, there's new cases, but there's also cases that have been happened a long time ago that we don't want to forget, right? Oops, you're on mute.
There you go. I don't know how many times we've heard that over COVID times, right? We start talking. That's one of the things with our office, you know, being relatively new. We've been in the office for 2.5 years now. We're still playing catch up. And so we have some work to do and community still learning about what we do and what we can offer, what types of support we can offer. So I think right now our oldest case is about 40 years old. And, you know, that's one of the cases that's highlighted on the billboards up in the Twin Cities. To be clear, there's two in Minneapolis. I want to say there's one in Burnsville, Moundsview, Shoreview, Maplewood, and Columbus Township. So I'll be looking for those. But yeah, it's just been great to connect with some of those folks that have those resources to support us and highlight that, you know, what our families are going through and let them know that, you know, they're not forgotten. You know, that's what, in talking to one of the families recently, they're like, it's so nice to see those up because it lets me know that I'm not the only one looking for my brother, my sister, my loved one. And so it's been awesome to kind of give them that spark of hope and feeling that they're not alone anymore. So super thankful for those partnerships.
Well, it's crazy because like we have the opportunity on February 14th to hear these stories live. I can't imagine how do you take care of your mental health? Because those stories keep coming daily, and not only the 40-year-old ones, but the daily ones. And we as Facebook people see people disappearing all the time.
That's a really great question. I mean, I'm fortunate to be connected with my indigenous roots and, you know, do ceremony smudge down when I need to. And, you know, also I have a great support system where I'm allowed to laugh too as part of my healing. And so in the depths of kind of all the dark things and heavy things that we do, I'm thankful to have that laughter too, just because that gets me through when other things can't. So super appreciative of that support, and you have to build that. So
yeah, it is. And you do have to have support, and you do have to be able to talk to people that are going through. I know it's fun. It's funny too, in a different sense here with news and also being so dark when we started the show 8 years ago with first Dakota Access Pipeline and then the Trump administration and things like that, that we have to talk to each other and talk to our relatives about where we're at and how we're feeling. So we talk about that, how important it is here all the time. And I'm glad you're taking care of yourself.
Yeah, I'm lucky to have the support of the office, and they really allow us to do and take care of those things and make sure that they bring that up as a priority. You know, we get to have fun times too, being out in community. We get to go out and present. I was up in my new coworker and I, actually our office expanded a little bit. We had some transition. We have a new intelligence specialist, Taylor Wenzel. And she and I went up to Canada and connected with some relatives up there and talked about human trafficking and how we're dealing with MMIR here in Minnesota. So she's a new addition to our office. I think she came on in April. And then we also have Deanna Bolio joining our office as a victim specialist. And so she is working one-on-one with families too, as we get more cases and folks come into a space where they're asking for support, we now have a dedicated person to work with them and act as a liaison between law enforcement and the families or whatever they need as they go through these challenging times of being impacted by MMIR. So our office is growing a little bit. So it's nice to have that extra support. And like I said, just be out in community. It's not always grim. We're out at Powell's, we're out, you know, just being in community spaces. That's always nice to see smiling faces. We have some balance in that, thankfully.
Well, you know, you always see me and I'm up there begging for free swag and you know how that is, but I appreciate it. We do have fun and have a lot of fun conversations too, for sure.
Yeah, we'll be out at National Night Out in a couple locations. I know our director will be down in her home community down in Lower Sioux. I'm going to be back in my hometown on the west side of St. Paul and their community down at Castile Park. I think we'll be, Deanna's heading over to the Minneapolis Urban Indian Center out that way. So she'll be in Minneapolis. I think we have some other folks that are heading to Leech Lake. So we'll be throughout the state just building that sense of community and can hit us up for some swag. I think we'll have these new bandanas out. Really trying to also trying to prioritize safety. So we got those, we got a couple cases of these screeching alarms. So folks are out in community or places where they're feeling unsafe. You pull the pin and it makes a really loud sound. It has a little flashlight. We know that it's not preventative of all things, but we just, wanted to do something to emphasize that safety and talk about that and open up discussion and community about the importance of being safe. And so we have some of those items as well as first aid kits and some other things that really just trying to reassure communities that we care and we're here and hit us up if they need support.
Yeah, that's really important. And I think I did see those screech things last time I saw you, and that's a great idea. It'll get people's attention and also get the conversation going, because it's an interesting thing, because as we get together as community, we have a lot of fun, but this is also a very important and serious thing. And again, for me, it's heart-wrenching to hear a lot of these families and what they're going
through. I know I have a wall here at my house of some of the cases that I work and as you hear them, it keeps me motivated, and I have their posters and their faces on the wall. So I'm looking at them every day, reminded. It's not just a name, or it's not just a case. This is a family, and these are the stories, and I'm blessed that they trust me enough to share with me some of their, that deep, very personal stuff. But that keeps me motivated to ask for billboards, motivated to go out and speak and raise awareness. I'm super fortunate. I'm so thankful to be in the position I'm at with MMIR.
Yeah. What I always like to talk to our guests about is a call to action, and how can our listeners out there support you and support your work? And, there's of course information, but how can they support you? And of course there's the license plates for people to support you, but is there a direct line too on how we can support this action?
Yeah, of course, like the license plate, and they can actually donate directly to the reward fund board, without getting license plates, if that's not their thing. But also, sharing posts, talking about it, referring relatives if you see posts, social media posts online about somebody missing, direct them to our office, let them know that there is support out there. Because I think that even though we've been around for, 2 years, and now I'm a little bit over a year now into the office or my work in the office, but people still don't know that we exist and what we have to offer. So send them our way, let them know that they can reach out to us. We do our best to be responsive. Also, when there's a call to search for relatives, show up, I know it's not easy, or the task isn't easy to come out to take time off. But even if it's a couple hours or something as simple as handing out posters, you know, show up, talk about it, say their names. Don't be afraid to offer support to families. I think sometimes we're afraid when relatives go through grief, we don't know what to say, or we may not have the right words. And so we don't say anything out at all. And so just encourage relatives to, you know, let families know that you're there, that you support them, that you're part of community, and that you see them and that you remember their loved ones with them. So, I mean, those are some kind of simple ways to be a good relative, I would say. So,
yeah, definitely. And that we want to be a good relative. And I'm just really, really happy. And I can't believe it's already been 2 years that this has been going on, because I know State Senator Mary Kunis tried to get it through 3 years ago in an omnibus bill. And then it had both sides of the aisle were supporting this. And that's really good to hear, and really heartwarming that, you know, we live in a great state here.
Yeah, we're really fortunate. As other states look to us about, you know, how they can replicate what we're doing here in Minnesota, we tell them you need a champion. You need to connect with folks that have and can amplify those voices. And so that's the message that we brought to Winnipeg. And that's what we tell others who are reaching out. There's going to be a national convening in Arizona coming up in October, where folks that are addressing MMIR or MMIP or MMIW, whatever they call it in their state, get together and talk about the lessons that they've learned, what's going well, what are our common challenges. And so be the first time that we're getting together as folks that address that. So we're excited about that. And, you know, thankful to, again, that Minnesota has, the people of Minnesota and Minnesota has said this is important. We're going to put this in office and to show some leadership on what other communities can do and talk about our lessons learned. So,
yeah, that's exciting. And it's also proud to be a Minnesotan. And I know our community is very mobile. Dakotas, Wisconsin, and Iowa come back and forth. But, you know, we're proud here, the people that are living in Minnesota, of our politicians doing right for us.
Yeah, I agree. And Senator Kunis has been awesome with us, and Lieutenant Governor has come out in support. And it's just nice to have that backing. Now, somebody was asking in the chat where our state offices were located in downtown St. Paul, but we're fortunate to work remotely and can be where the need is. And so we're all over the state. Our main office is there, but we work wherever needed. So thanks again for having me on.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's great to see you, and we love promoting your work. And it's just, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break with who, Haley?
Angela Two Stars of NACTI and All My Relations Arts.
Right on. You passed the test. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Few Wisconsin events bring 600,000 people together from 80 different countries, but it happens every summer in Oshkosh.
Oshkosh has become synonymous with the world of flight and with EAA.
Dick Napinski's worked with EAA Air Venture for more than 30 years and knows its history. Do you? Where did EAA start? Wausau, La Crosse, or Milwaukee? The answer coming up. The fly-in is spread across 1,600 acres with more than 10,000 airplanes. It brings a big boost to the economy, too.
It's $170 million of economic impact and more than $110 million of direct spending.
So where did EAA start? Milwaukee in 1953 called the Wisconsin Air Pageant with 21 planes. All moved to Oshkosh in 1970, a high-flying slice of Wisconsin. It's happening July 22nd to the 28th. I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. How?
Hey, we're really happy to have Angela Two Stars, director of All My Relations Art with Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities, Minnesota. And we have a new exhibit coming up here. Great to see you.
Hi, thank you for having me. It's nice to see you guys.
Right on. Hey, how did that last showing go? I was really Frank Buffalo Hyde show is wrapping up the alternative at All My Relations. That was just an awesome exhibit.
It was. Yeah, it was so fun to have Frank's work and to introduce, you know, his work to the Twin Cities. It's been wonderful to have a show up, and we're really grateful that he allowed us to extend it for a little bit because we had an event in the gallery. So we got to have some, you know, that eye candy up for people to come in to see what we're about and see who we're supporting and get that artist work out there.
Yeah, it's so exciting. I mean, I'm a hanger-oner, as you know, Angela, you know, and I beg for food and things like that, as you know, in your office. But it's always exciting to be there and watch people, whether they're grabbing a cup of coffee or just coming through the town to check out the gallery.
Yeah, I think it's something that is always changing. And so people coming in, you know, they get to see new art, new artists, and all of the art is, you know, it's a reflection of Native people and our different stories and history and contemporary experiences. And so when our community comes in, you know, they see themselves reflected in the work. And I think that's really important.
Yeah. So what do we have next? What's coming up next? I can't wait.
We have a new exhibition opening on August 1st. It's by Jennifer White. It's called Arikara Proper. And Jennifer actually owns the Post Pilgrim Gallery in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And so she's having a solo exhibition at All My Relations. She's an Arikara artist. She works with acrylics, and she's got paintings to share with our community. She depicts her Northern Plains culture, and she's just a really fun, vibrant, strong artist. I'm really looking forward to the community being able to come and see her work. Her paintings are beautiful. They really have a lot of meaning in them.
How do you guys pick an artist?
Well, you know, now that we're out of the pandemic, we can actually plan forward. So, you know, typically we like to have about 2 years of planning for exhibitions, and we like to do a range of solo exhibitions, group exhibitions. We like to have, you know, guest curators, you know, to kind of change things up. So it's not always like, you know, my preference or, you know, and Jennifer and I actually met in 2018 at the Indigenous Peoples Day Festival. She and I were both exhibiting artists. We had booths, and that October of that year was so cold. I completely was like not looking to sell any of my work. I was just focusing on staying warm. And she was right next to me, and we just had such a fun time getting to know each other. And, you know, so I always remembered, you know, her. And then our VP of development, John Williams, came from Sioux Falls. And so he had shared about Jennifer. And so as we were planning our calendar, I was looking for a solo artist. And we went to visit her last year and invited her to have a solo exhibition, All My Relations. And she was very moved. And, you know, I think for me, it shows the impact that All My Relations has on artists, like, and their careers and opportunity that it provides. So that's very meaningful. And I really take that very seriously, that we're able to offer this for artists and to be able to share their work, you know, with our community.
Well, that's a really, really good point. And I wanted to ask you real quick about your art and how people can see your art. And do you have a Facebook or do you have it hanging? What about your art?
Goodness, I actually just closed. I myself had a solo exhibition at the Great Plains Art Museum in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Oh.
That just closed days ago. So I'm going to be heading down there to pick up my work. But yeah, it's something, you know, as a solo artist, you have that responsibility to fill the whole gallery. And so that's one thing, like when we host solo solo artists, that all my relations, it's that recognition that they are carrying the whole weight of the show. You know, they're showcasing who they are as artists, and they have to fill the entire gallery with their work. So that's a lot of art that they have to create, and it's a responsibility, you know, for these artists. And having a solo show is a really big deal for artists, especially, you know, at All My Relations, to be able to have a solo exhibition, because it's not something that comes, you know, like frequently, you know, in like the larger art institutions. So that's one of the things why we want to have specific solo exhibitions for artists in our space.
Well, you do. And Haley, it's never been a disappointment when we go in there.
Oh, no, thank
never.
You.
It's forever changing, and they have, you know, you guys really pick great artists. And I want to mention too, in Frank's last exhibition, his artwork and his pieces were phenomenal, but also just the titles in which he titled his pieces, I know, held some weight to him too. So it's really cool to see how artists kind of put their own little take on their solo exhibitions.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I had a cousin visiting from the reservation from my hometown just yesterday, and I showed her, you know, some of my public art pieces in the community, and it was explaining the concepts behind my work, and she was commenting about how without having me there to explain those things, like, she wouldn't have known, you know, kind of like that depth and that those concepts that the artists incorporate into their work. So it's always really fun when you can meet with the artists one-on-one and hear their, you know, reasons behind how they created their work or their titles. Jennifer is actually going to be in town next weekend. We have our opening on August 3rd, and it's going to be a fun time. We have a food truck. We've got music. We've got the Black Widows that are going to be playing at 7 o'clock. And Jennifer is just such good energy. She's such a fun person to be around. So I would want to encourage everybody to come out to meet her, because she's a really cool lady. And it's going to be really fun to show her work, because it's just beautiful. Like, very passionate, expressive work that she does.
Well, how can people, is there tickets for that? Because I know when we did our reading, our Ho-Chunk reading, we had to close the doors. There were so many people there. So
there was. Yeah. Well, our opening reception, you know, it runs from 6 until 9. So it's kind of an open door, revolving door that people can come in. And then we have everything outside too. So like the food truck will be outside. So we'll have tables set up. The band will be outside. So it's nice to have kind of like just a summer party. Hopefully the weather, you know, is cooperative, and then people can go in to spend some time with Jennifer's work. And so, you know, they get a ticket to get themselves an Indian taco or something from Bob's truck. Hopefully we have Bob, because he's a busy guy these days.
Yeah. Well, and I've been mentioning the fact, too, that I've been at other events, and I go, well, who catered this? And a lot of times Bob's been out and about with not only the truck, but just all his other recipes.
Yeah. Yeah. We're actually going to be hosting the awardee for the 3rd annual Jim Denemy Memorial Scholarship. We're going to be having a dinner for him and his family next month. So Bob is on the docket to cater that meal, because it's always a good food from Bob.
Well, Angela, quick address and the dates.
Yes, we're All My Relations is at 1414 East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. And the exhibition opens on Thursday, August 1st. Our opening reception, where everybody needs to come down and come out, is on August 3rd, and it's from 6 until 9. And there'll be food and fun and music and Jennifer White. So, yep, Arikara proper.
Wow, big Pina Gigi for coming on. I really appreciate you and appreciate all the work you do.
Thank you guys for having me.
Right on. Hey, we're still here. We are the 7th generation. This is Native Roots Radio.
And free Leonard Peltier. Now.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
Crude and Dom.
The Kamala Sugar High continues on the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the very next one. But the ice picks are coming out for her. Tune in.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
Fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke here with the Midwest Farm Report, live weekday mornings right here on WGBW. It's about your food and where it comes from. Tune in and learn. 5 a.m., 1590 a.m., 97.9 FM, the talk of Green Bay.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on the talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Some progress in the fight against a massive wildfire burning in Northern California. ABC's Jacqueline Lee has the latest from Chico.
California's biggest fire of the year, scorching more than 350,000 acres, larger than the size of Los Angeles, now 10% contained. With more than 130 structures destroyed, the fire consuming everything in its